Welcome to the
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Athletic NBA Show.
Monday through
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Hello, Athletic NBA Show listeners. I'm Dave DeFore. I wanted to share some exciting news. The NBA Daily Ding is moving permanently to the Athletic NBA Show feed. That's right. Monday through Friday, you're going to be able to catch up on all of the previous night's action in the time it takes to make coffee. Fancy coffee. So join me, Andrew Schleck, Trevon Edwards, Keith Parrish, Jared Weiss, our special guests, and your favorite Athletic beat writers as we break down the previous night's action and all of the news from the day before. Your friends are going to think you're a basketball genius. Be sure to tell them why, though. Make sure you check us out Monday through Friday right here on the Athletic NBA Show for the NBA Daily Day.
I tortured the Raptors for choosing Scotty Barnes, and it took me like three times watching him to be like, oh man, I was so fucking wrong.
Jade, clip that.
Yep. Good God, we both had the same note too, bro. That's
a rare moment right there.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
This is the Basketball Buzz. Yeah.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite Athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Just threw on the
Welcome joint. To the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. Jade Hoyt is producing. On the show, we got Trevon Edwards. We got Mo Dakhil. We've got Jay King. We got James Edwards III. And we got a rookie class, gentlemen, that is already incredibly fun. And here's the thing. Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, Jalen Suggs haven't even really gotten going yet. And this rookie class is already insane. But, James, you saw the debut of one Cade Cunningham Saturday night. Finally, yes. Got on the court after what was an ankle injury that was bothering him. And yep. And granted, like, didn't go great in terms of his personal scoring. But from what I saw, he's got an incredible feel of the game. And I was impressed, even though he didn't perform all that well. What did you see from Cade Cunningham?
No, exactly that. I think, obviously, people who are box score watching are going to get caught up in that he was 1-for-8 and 0-for-5 from 3. But, I mean, as you guys know, shooting is a rhythm thing. He just started 5-on-5 last week. Didn't play the whole preseason, missed camp, so you didn't expect him to shoot well. But the way he internalizes the game, picks up on things, Orlando was trapping him. Literally, his hadn't even taken 5 career dribbles, and Orlando was trapping him off the pick and roll. The way he picked that apart at times early on, defensively, he really got after it. Yeah, I thought it was a good debut, minus the fact that he just couldn't hit a jump shot. I mean, you saw the signs of a guy who's at minimum just going to be a really good player for a long time.
The thing I liked most about it with Cunningham, even though he was struggling, was he was still doing other things. Wanting to get 7 rebounds, you know, like he's still involved. Like it wasn't, okay, I'm not shooting well. This is a bad night. I'm just going to suck tonight, right? And like we always talk about it with guys, can you do other things? It was kind of nice to see that from him in his first game back, going like, all right, I'm struggling here. Let me pick up the slack elsewhere. It goes a long way.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't lost. Cade Cunningham.
1-0.
1-0.
That's facts.
Yeah.
That's facts.
There you go. Who's everyone's favorite rookie so far? Like, Trey, is there anyone that's like really grabbed your attention?
Well, since this is like the best class since 2017, I think it's been changing for me. I know I picked Jalen Green as my rookie of the year, but I'm high on Evan Mobley.
He's good, man. He's really
I think he's going to pan
he's
out
so
to
impactful
be
right away.
Yeah, I think he's going to pan out to be the best out of this group. But I feel like, you know, maybe Jalen Green or, you know, someone else ends up getting rookie of the year. I even like the kid Giddy out of, you know, OKC. It's just tons of talent out here. You know what I mean? Like different guys, you know, doing different things. But yeah, you can watch their game and tell that, you know, are, you know, at least going to be good, and it's not really to a point where they are hitting a learning curve. You know what I mean? Like certain things in the learning curve, especially for like Jalen Green, is like small fix things. You know, their team is just isn't good. You know what I mean? But if he was surrounded by someone and his role was a little limited, he'd be talked about a little bit more. And I think that since he's high usage, he's going to go through some growing pains. And then you look at Evan Mobley.
He's going to build, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then you look at Evan Mobley, you know, they have a fun young core, but like this dude is on both ends, you know? Like he might be getting 17 points, but he's not going to miss a night where he's not getting 10 rebounds, you know? So like I think he's going to be right there. And I think K-Love and, you know, it's going to be like very instrumental in his career, but then also him and Jared Allen, if they can keep those two together, I like what Cleveland could possibly build.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. Like I always have this rule and it's almost always right of look, don't talk to me about rookies defending, right? Like rookies, like they're not gonna make an impact defensively, except we got two in this class, like Evan Mobley and Scotty Barnes. Like these dudes can actually impact the game defensively in a positive way right away. And it's like I think the last one was like maybe Matisse Thybulle was one of those dudes. And then it's usually just like, I don't know, Kawhi Leonard was the one before that. Like it's you never get rookies who know what they're doing because the game's really hard. And first yet these all, two right away are amazing.
Shout out to Coach Hamilton out in Florida State. He's
producing.
He's out there producing. And I don't know if they're getting enough love as they should. But you know, he had been putting Scotty out there in full court, picking up full for the longest, you know, and kind of preparing him for this moment. So I think he's going to pan out really well for them. And like I said, I know the Raptors fans don't want to hear that, but I could see Siakam out of there, you know, cause they can kind of lean towards these two, you know what I mean? OG and Scotty.
Scotty Barnes has blown me away. Like just the level of feel and then the shooting he's shown from mid-range, not three yet, but like when guys lay off him, he's confidently shot it. He's already like physical enough, strong enough, athletic enough. And then the feel is just really, really impressive. He's been from the start an impact player for a team that's probably overachieving right now, especially with Siakam out. I don't agree that Siakam necessarily has to go. I think all those guys fit together. You've got like 3, 6, 7, 6, 8 dudes that are super long and can do different types of things. Like Scotty Barnes is just kind of, he fits anywhere because he can play off the ball. He's a very good cutter. Like just the IQ on him has just been really, really impressive for a rookie. And then like Zach said, the defense, this dude is polished and he can guard a whole bunch of different positions. He's strong as hell. Like he's already rebounding at a really high level right away. I tortured the Raptors for choosing Scotty Barnes, and it took me like three times watching him to be like, oh man, I was so fucking wrong.
Jade, clip that. Clip.
Yep. God, we both had the same note.
That's a rare moment right here. Hey Zach, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
If we, you know, thinking about the redraft, which we normally do down the line.
Oh, can we redraft 1 week? 1 week?
You want to redraft 1 week in? Let's do it. You know what? Fuck it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's get irrational.
Right. Let's be irresponsible with this right here, right? So thinking about a redraft, what changes? Who's wrong?
Well, the Pistons have never lost when Cade Cunningham takes the court, so I still think he goes number one. that's a good question, man. Like I know like there was some discussion. I don't know how real it was for the Rocket side of it. I think they were pretty locked in on Jalen Green the whole time, but there was some discussion of like, oh, maybe they should take Evan Mobley. And the Rocket side of that was, well, we have Christian Wood, which I'm just like, okay. I mean, right. Okay. Yeah, you sure do. But as we're seeing, right, like Evan Mobley can play with another big. And can play with another big who's like pretty centered around the rim.
He plays with two other bigs.
Yeah, he can play with two other bigs. Yeah, exactly. Like he might be playing shooting guard tonight. Who are we? Know? Like I mean, like he's pretty versatile, and especially like that's usually the problem defensively, right? It's like where is this guy going to guard? And he can guard everywhere. And so I do think there's an interesting idea of like, what if the Rockets considered Mobley?
I still think, you know, Jalen Green's still my type of player, so I'm going to believe in him long term. I still think he's going to be like a 25 a game guy pretty early in his career, and it won't be a detriment to the team. So I still don't, like, if you're a Rockets fan, you're like, no, of course we still take Jalen Green. Like, sure. Like, I don't think there's a problem with that. I do like the idea, though, of Evan Mobley as their franchise big.
But the other thing, too, about Mobley that doesn't get talked about is his passing, right? Like, he's pretty solid as a passer, not just sort of, he only is getting about 2.6 assists a game, but like when I watch him, he's throwing passes that leads to fouls, things like that, high low situations when Kevin Love gets in good spots and things like that. Like, I love Mobley. I'm sorry, I'm taking Mobley one.
Ooh.
Wow.
I know the Pistons really, 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 really like Mobley. So, I mean, if they have a week long sample size. Yeah,
just off a week.
Just off 1 week.
This might be the dumbest thing we've ever done.
No, so, okay, I still, so
go, you've released multiple diss tracks.
Yes,
Jay. I don't think this is the dumbest thing we've done. I was screaming that the Heat were going to come back from down 0-3 last year in the first round. Like, I don't think it's the dumbest thing we've done.
Fair enough. Scotty Barnes has to be, if Cade and Mobley are off the board, Scotty Barnes is next to me, even though I was screaming at the Raptors for not taking Jalen Suggs. And I still think Jalen Suggs is going to be great. I am all in on Jalen Suggs.
Yeah, he's just not hitting shots, but he, like, I like the way he's playing.
Yeah, but Scotty, to me, like, the floor is so high and the ceiling is really high too, especially if he becomes a better shot maker. And shot creator as he continues. Like, he can already do so many different things.
Does David Mitchell
like what I saw from I like what I saw from him and Franz Wagner. I didn't think he would come in, and I thought he would be one of those guys that needed a while to acclimate. He's looked pretty good, and it might be because it was fresh in my head and he played well against Detroit last night, but he's been solid in the other games I've seen of him. I like his
making
game.
Shots.
He gets after it. Yeah.
One other guy I like is Chris Duarte from Indiana, shooting 39% from three, and he's just he is getting them up.
One time for old rookies.
Yeah, exactly. 24 years old. But yeah, and Jay's right. It's literally like he touches it, I'm like, it's going up. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And they've run plays for him in crunch time.
Yeah, he's a gunner, like, dude.
He quickly earned the trust of Rick Carlisle.
I was watching him against the Nets, and I was just like, yo, this dude has no fear. But yeah, then again, I don't want to play the whole age thing. I think it's kind of good for him to shine in these type of situations because, you know, maybe it helps seniors, you know, coming into the league next year, you know, like where it can shift it. And you know what I mean? It changes the viewpoint of the one and dones. You know what I mean? Like, you want to get a guy that's kind of been experienced or et cetera. But yeah, no, he can go, man. I still wanted him to be a Nick, but you know, I think it works out, especially with Caris, how he gets all the looks.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I really like Trey Murphy in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Like that dude can, nice. That dude's a good shooter. Like I think he's going to be a really nice role player. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else. I've seen. Oh, what about the other dude in Toronto? Banton. Raptors fans are crazy about him.
Raptors fans are crazy, yeah. Period.
He's fun. He's fun. He's energetic. He's a fan favorite. Going to make the right play.
Like I saw Raptors fans.
He's playing ahead of Goran Dragic.
Up and down.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, up and down the timeline. Like, yo, Ben, this, Ben, that. Like, it was the first game. And I think they played the Wizards that game maybe. And so when I had checked, the Wizards were blowing him out, and I was like, oh, he must have brought them back. I looked, I was like, nah, it's still like a 16-point game. I was like, well, he must be killing. I looked, it was like 6 points, 3 assists. I was like, what the fuck's going on? Like,
come on, that's Toronto fans. What are you talking about? That's Toronto fans.
But also, isn't he a Canadian-born player?
I think so.
Yeah, now they're riding for their own, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it, though. I like it. I mean, I got a chance to see him in preseason, and, you know, he came in immediately in – energy and dropped a dime, got a rebound. You know what I mean? He's pushing the pill, like, and getting everybody involved. Like, how can you not like a guy like that? You know, I mean, he kind of gives me sometimes Batoon-ish, you know, being able to handle the ball. So, okay. Again, I still need to see some more shooting and stuff like that, but yeah, he's going, you know, if he can stick around, I definitely could see him, you know, being in a rotation or playing a big part with their development as far as the rebrand of the Raptors.
My man Herb Jones deserves a shout out too with this rookie class. Starting 6 out of 7 games so far for the Pelicans, playing like 25 games a night. One of the best defenders in the rookie class for sure, and has actually scored in double digits twice the last couple of games. So I'm a huge Herb Jones guy. Now, he does so much. Now he's a horrible, horrible shooter.
Yeah.
But he does so much right.
Because he's good, or is he playing because Pelicans right now?
Yeah, Jay, 6 out of 7 starting for the Pelicans is not a a stat there. That's like, wow, that's amazing.
Got a bit of an injury issue right now with some of this
stuff. I can't wait for Miss Jones to be like, yeah, Jay King. You know what I mean? That's right, my Jones baby. Family.
Mr. Jones and me, man.
Wait, what are you doing here?
You're trying to do the Counting Crows? Like, what's
going on here?
The man can defend.
No, I like it. He is good, but I do think a little bit of that is just some of those positives you mentioned were just like, yeah, Pelicans. That's what's happening right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. Yeah. They're not the best team in the NBA right now.
Yeah. Struggling.
But he's still earned a role. He's a second round pick, earned a big role right away.
What about
was given a big role right away? Right.
what about Josh Giddey? I know there seems to be some thoughts by some certain podcasters on The Athletic that think the Oklahoma City Thunder have a negative spotlight from national media, and I can't imagine why. It must be the egregious tanking that's going on. Maybe that's the reason, and we're just doing what we did with the Sixers, only in a much less vitriolic way. I had a little bit of a frog in my throat there. But what about, like, Giddey's actually, I did not think much of him. I especially didn't think much of him in the few minutes I saw in Summer League, because, like, seeing someone dribble in person can really
he
make a break.
He dribbles like he's a stick figure.
Right.
He dribbles like a bad, so like, stiff. Bad, like, video game animation, right? Like, but he's been good so far. Like, he's moving the ball. He's actually making shots. Like, he's had a better start than I assumed he would.
I mean, he has a 5.7 to 2 turnover or assist to turnover ratio. That's pretty solid for a rookie.
That's good. For a rookie, yeah, that's
and
good.
And a 6'8 rookie who's running point guard a lot of the time. Like, he's got game.
On a shit team.
Well, I mean it's going to be that for a little bit.
I'm commending his turnover ratio being on a shit team.
Yeah.
I'm giving him props because I like Zach, watched very little Josh Giddey because he didn't play, but I think they opened against the Pistons in Summer League, and I'm just like, this dude, like I said, dribbles like he's a stick figure, and I was already like on my podcast, like, he's trash. He's going to be back in Australia in a year. So I owe him an apology.
Damn.
Unlike Jay.
He's going hard on him like that?
Yeah, I will apologize to Josh Giddey.
The funniest thing during that game in Summer League, the few minutes he was out there, is we were sitting next to our former colleague, Big Waz.
Why did
you go
so hard against Josh Giddey?
Hold on. Watching Waz tweet, yo, this kid, like, Thunder might have made a mistake after, like, the first minute of Summer League.
And yeah, he did.
And the onslaught of, like, Thunder fans just hammering his mentions, and he's reading them out loud and cackling that Waz laugh that we love so much. Like, yo, he was here for all the chaos, and I'm seeing him now. Like, I see him, he is just shitting on the Memphis Grizzlies left and right on Twitter, and I know it's just because he's getting the rise out of Grizzlies fans, and I'm dying every single time. But yeah, that's what I think of Josh Giddey. I was like, I just remember Waz just trolling,
which was funny because it was his first play in Summer League.
Yeah, I think he turned it over, right?
No, yeah, he drove by and got a dunk. Oh, right. And then sprained his ankle. And it he's a bust. I was like, wait a minute.
I forgot about
that's
that.
A crazy,
he just looked
that's
trash
a crazy way to write
it.
Somebody off.
Yeah. He just looked trash, man. I don't know what it was.
He didn't
just
look like, he
just
didn't look like he didn't look comfortable with a basketball. It was just weird. And clearly he looks comfortable now, but it looks weird when he dribbles.
It does. I think what you said earlier was best. Like, he looks like a video game animation.
Yeah.
Was that he was at Ben Simmons' camp 4 years ago. That just, not only did that make me feel old, but it was just like, did they shoot at this camp? Like, who were they working on?
It was all passing. Passing a defensive slide.
They did a photo shoot.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Any other thoughts on the rookie class before we move on here? Any other shout outs we want to give? Good.
I would like Denver to play Bones Highland a little bit more. Yeah, he had some nice minutes against Minnesota last night. I want to see more Bones. That's it.
That's probably better phrasing than that, but we'll move on to a game I like to call buy or buy. What do we believe in? Are you buying it? Or are you saying buy to it?
Throughout North America and Europe. Plus, I'll take it.
It's kind of confusing. It's not great on an audio medium, but you guys get it. We'll figure it out. All right.
Bye-bye. See you later.
Let's start with the Pacers.
Well, that's not this game. That's the next game. We're not going to start with the Pacers. We'll start with the 5-1 Washington Wizards, who are really fun to watch. They had a reckless game against the Celtics Saturday night.
Crazy.
That went into, did it go double OT? I think it was double OT.
It sure did.
That's the voice of a man who had to write about it.
And neither team scored for like 10 straight minutes.
No, because
and it was just horrible.
I don't know what the hell the Celtics were doing. Like, the Wizards were running some of the worst AAU offense you can imagine. Like, I was like, someone passed the ball. Like, it was crazy. They end up winning the game, though. They've beaten the Celtics twice. They beat the Hawks. They beat the Pacers, beat the Raptors, lost the Nets. They're on a little 3-game win streak. They're going to be tonight, Monday night, in Atlanta. So get another chance at the Hawks to go up 2-0 on them in the season series. But this Wizards team, are you buying them or are you saying goodbye to them? Jay.
I'll buy them from the fact that they're better than they were last year. They have more respectable players than they did last year. Mm-hmm. Like last year, it was Bradley Beal.
Are they respectable though?
Russell Westbrook and not that much. I mean, they have like legitimate players now. They've got KCP, they've got Kuzma, they've got Trez. They've got Spencer Dinwiddie. Like, that's a cast of dudes that they didn't have. Bertans can shoot the heck out of it. Like, they have some players. I think they're going to really struggle.
It's the chip on the shoulder team, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All those guys have something to prove. They feel like they've been either disrespected or cast away from their teams and are now trying to, like, make it work. But then also the doubt every time you go into watching a Wizards game, you look at, like, how much efficiency and control Dinwiddie has, and you know, with Beal and you know him being, you know, the option one of the team, and then like you said, you throw in those other pieces where sometimes randomly Kyle Kuzma goes off, or you got Trez giving some good minutes, and you can go down the line and they put it together and win, and I think that's the sleeper part about the Wizards. So I'm also buying.
Oh, I bought them when we did our preview thing a few weeks ago, Zach. I was saying they were going to be at least a play-in lock. Like, this team's doing so, like, all the pieces they have fit together a little bit better, trading Russ and then getting four or five guys that all make sense. shockingly, Denny Advia is looking a little bit better. Like, everybody's kind of improving. KCP comes in and does a little more defensively and helps him a long way. Bradley Beal's Bradley Beal. He's freaking awesome. That's that. And then
he hasn't even played that well. He hasn't played that efficiently, I should say. He is playing well. He's playing good basketball. He's just not making shots.
Yeah, we're not even in the – he's not in the fully flow of things, and they're winning games, and they're getting things done. So I'm with them. I'm buying, putting my money on them.
They're not going to be great, though. Like, that interior defense can be very, very bad. When the Celtics just kind of put their shoulders down, like, it was just Trez back there. When Gafford got hurt, it was Bertans at center sometimes. They're going to do some funky stuff in the middle sometimes. But they do have a lot of decent players. And when Rui gets back, like, they've got some size on the wing. They've got some athletes on the wing that they just didn't have last year.
Yeah, they'll get Thomas Bryant back at some point in the season. I like him, although coming off ACL, I don't know if you can expect much from him. Yeah, I mean, Gafford's going to – he's going to have to be healthy, and he's going to have to be what we saw out of him second half of last season for that to really take off. But, yeah, like, I like the depth of this team. Kuzma's been super weird. Like, watching that game Saturday night, there were so many – situations where, like,
defense on a Euro step. Yeah. What was that?
But also, but he's made some plays, and there's just something where, like, if you could speed up his decision making in the half court by like a half second, like, they had some situation where if he just, like, a split second earlier makes that pass to Beal on the wing or makes a pass to somebody in the corner or whatever, they have the shot. He was just a little late, so allowed the defense to recover. But he's playing pretty solid basketball. It's just not quite good enough yet, but he's been, I mean, I thought Trez was done after last year. I was like, oh, this dude does not have any more. He's at least, like, getting to play more of his game. And I think there's a tipping point with how much you can play him. Like, 30 minutes a game, I think, is way too many. And that's what he's at right now because of injuries. But I would prefer that in, like, the 24 range. But he's played well. Like, you can't deny, like, he's playing well. So, I mean, I love Spencer Dinwiddie, so I'm all in on that backcourt. I'd like some more minutes for Aaron Holiday because I'm a huge Aaron Holiday guy, but that's just a selfish thing.
You being selfish? No.
Yeah.
Jay's
boy, Corey Kispert, can't hit a shot, but I just know you like him because he's a white guy.
No, he did not look good against the Celtics. How is Aaron Holiday a Zach Harper guy?
What are you talking about?
Like, that, he's not really in your mold.
He can shoot.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He can shoot,
but he's not a gunner, though. Like,
yeah, he's not reckless.
He's more of a role player. One, type.
There's not a member. There's
like
not
the
a member
who think
but
they're the greatest
thing.
Players in world
the,
history.
He's
even though
the
they stink.
Anti Plumlee or anti Zeller in that I like every single member of the Holiday family. Big Drew guy, big Justin guy, big Aaron guy. Like them all.
All right, that's fair.
Yeah, big fan of the Holidays.
Big fan of the Holidays, yes.
Yeah, that's fair. Why are a lot of the brother duos or trios in the NBA white? Like, I feel like there's an inordinate amount of white brothers.
When you get to the trio, right?
Yeah, like the Plumlees, the Zellers, like, percentage-wise, that's just, it's got to be, like, absurdly improbable.
Where are you going with this, Jay?
I'm just having a talk about white brothers.
He's just trying to figure out how do we get Marshall Plumlee back in the league.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So we're all in on the,
like,
Wizards.
Even the Wagners. Wagners. Like, just a lot of white brothers.
Just to ignore.
I don't know that Mo's going to stick around. Not Dak yet. Well, yeah, him too. But I don't know that Mo Wagner's going to stick around a whole long time.
But, you know, you're forgetting the Lopez's.
Does Kispert have a brother?
Does Kispert have a brother? I mean...
Probably. I thought you were part of the family, Jay. I figured you would be, you'd be fully know the tree by now.
All right.
The Kings can all hoop.
I don't believe that. I don't know which brother it is. One of your brothers wants to get lit the fuck up by me. And I can tell you, it can happen anytime.
You guys would end up fist fighting on the court. No lie.
Oh, does he throw punches when he gets lit up?
No, he would be in your shit. Jawing, and then of course you'd be jawing, and tempers would flare.
Can we get this on video? Like, we need it. This might need to be a new live video for the Athletic.
I'll fund this.
Yo, I can go anywhere. I'll light his ass up. I don't care.
I'm in.
See if he can swim in the deep water. See how those floaties work for him. Take him way the hell out there on the half court.
Floaties.
Right. Yeah. so he doesn't sink in the deep water, which is far beyond the three-point line. You're not a shooter. You don't get it. All right.
Please.
Let's go with a team we talked about a little bit already. Bye or bye, Toronto Raptors.
Bye-bye. See you later.
I'm buying, as in I'm in. I just like what they do. It's a team that naturally is built to play hard. We talked about Scottie Barnes. I think when they get Siakam back, that's only going to help. And I get what Trey's saying. They probably could trade him, and I think they'd be okay just going with that young core. But why not give it a shot and see if you can get back in the playoffs? I like what I've seen from OG. I like what I've seen from Fred. I just like that team. I like the makeup of the players. I think they're it's a scrappy bunch, and that's kind of what they've been for a while. And the fact that Scottie's better than I think most of us anticipated so quick is kind of like the cherry on top. I buy them. I think they have a chance to be – I don't want to say anything. I got to save my ridiculous takes for later.
Okay. No.
I need it. We need the ridiculous take.
Miles Bridges will be an all-star this year. I don't know if I don't know.
What does Flint, that have to do with the Raptors?
He watches Michigan State beat Michigan one time.
And now look at that.
All of a sudden, during a Raptors chat, he's like, man, Miles Bridges is going to be an all-star. Flip, baby, flip.
Not one time. We've beaten them 10 of the last 13 times. This is what we do. All the Walmart Wolverines, they all threw their stuff. They took the receipts back. They went back to Walmart. They threw them away. Spartan dogs all day, top five. We're going to the Natty. You know what it is.
You're getting smacked in the Natty. Oh, my gosh. I know we're football schools smacked. Like this.
We're going to the Natty. Okay.
They might if they play Georgia, they might quit in the third quarter.
Like, I'll turn it off. I won't even watch. It'll be so bad, dude.
Yeah, I feel bad for Kenneth Walker if he's got to play Georgia.
Heisman. Let's go, dude.
He's about to get
okay, but your
drive.
Thoughts on the Raptors, James?
I thought I got them all.
I like them.
You said you didn't want to give your hot takes yet, and then I said, we need it. And you said, okay, Miles Bridges, all-star.
No.
Nothing to do with the Raptors. He's like, Mo Peterson, too.
Raptors legend. I was going to say, I think they're a playoff team. Not a play-in team, a playoff team.
Top six.
I'm gonna go with that. I just had a hot take in general. I like to have one per show, and it was Miles Bridges gonna be an all-star, but I'll save that for a later date. Okay. Raptors, no play-in team, playoff team.
Yeah, strike Miles Bridges all-star from the record. We'll get into that later, and that'll be a great revelation to all of us. I am a little worried that half of their wins so far have come against a team we'll discuss later, the Indiana Pacers, who might just be real bad.
Get Dave Dufour on the line.
Remember, they're missing Edmund Sumner, so that's the big hole in their rotation right now. But I'm a little worried that some of that is just like, you know, struggling or bad opponent, but their defense, I think their defense relies a little bit too much on creating turnovers, and I don't know that that's sound, but I do think, like, overall they're going to be if they're healthy, they're going to be a top five defense in the league. Like, they are really good. They just got to figure out how to consistently make enough shots, but defensively, yeah. Like, they can switch everything. They can defend any way Nick Nurse wants them to. Like, that's a fun defensive team,
and all interchangeable parts, right? Like, yeah. Once they're fully healthy, it's all just like, okay, the next long wingman comes in and wreaks havoc. Even
Van Vliet is kind of interchangeable, because even though he's super small, like, he can guard in the post, he's not that much reliability in the post. I love watching Fred Van Vliet play.
Yeah, I do too.
But I'm gonna wave bye-bye. Goodbye to the Raps.
What?
Whoa. I'm gonna wave goodbye.
Me too. BYE.
I think they're not deep enough scoring wise, and in the long run, like, scratching, clawing out wins every night is tough. They're going to end up missing Kyle Lowry a lot more than they have so far. I just think, like, when the dog days come, that's a team that just won't be able to score.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS. You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Yeah, they're really bad at making shots. Right? Like,
It improves once Siakam comes back, though. I think they'll have a little bit of a better flow offensively. I mean, it's not like he's a great shot maker from three or anything like that, but I think he kind of creates a little bit more chaos on the offensive end in a good way that gets defenses moving. I think it'll improve. I don't think they're going to be a great offense, but I think it'll be just good enough. And with how good their defense is going to be, it'll make up for that.
Yeah, their offense is just like floating because of like right in the middle of the league, at least through the first couple of weeks. And I really hate the whole like they're the best defense in the league right now, number one rating, or oh, this team's bad offensive rating right now. I'm like, yo, we played five games, like what are we doing? But their offensive efficiency is resting solely on them rebounding their own misses. Like they're rebounding like 30% of their own misses right now, which is an insane rate to keep up. Maybe they will, but so, I'm not so certain we'll keep up.
That's a great game plan. Hey, just throw it up to the rim. We'll go get the offense.
Works for Zion, right? Yeah. Like he's just a dude. Yeah. He's just like, I'll just keep jumping until you can't anymore.
The good old Ricky Davis.
Hey, man, that's Hall of Famer Ricky Davis, okay?
Put respect on that name.
Yeah, we're going to put some. We're not going to slander that name on this podcast. All right. How about this team as a title contender? The Golden State Warriors. Before Klay Thompson, we don't even know what Klay's going to look like.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Anybody buying or buy?
Bye-bye. Goodbye. Ooh. I'm not there. Because, look, it's still the same team that they were last year, and it's going to rely a lot more on Curry.
Oh, no.
What do you mean, oh, no? What do you mean, oh, no? Curry still has to be the one that goes off on most nights for them to be able to get going. Jordan Poole, who I was really high on, has started out very slow. A little bit worried about that. His misses are just not even close sometimes. This is the same team right now. Defensively, I'm not sure where they're at. When Klay comes back, that's going to take a while to really get him going. Like, even though he's going to be on the court playing, it's going to take him at least a month to kind of ramp up and be ready for NBA-level basketball. I'm not there. I'm just waving bye-bye to them being title contenders.
Mm. I'm purchasing them. Their supporting cast is much better now.
Jay Lacob.
Despite what Mo says. Like, they have guys who know how to play basketball now. And that's what you need around Steph Curry. I am worried about Jordan Poole. He's in such a tough role for a guy who's never really done anything in the NBA. Like they run all their offense through him, and he needs to create, and he needs to make plays happen for himself. He needs to make plays happen for others. And he's been supremely inefficient in that role. But I think when Klay gets back, that this team will be pretty deep. They'll be very skilled, and they have a lot of knowledge. And I'm stunned that Andre Iguodala is moving like he is.
In October.
He looks like he's shed like three or four years from when he was in Miami. He got 4 or 5 years younger from when he was with the Heat. Heat culture didn't stick with him, I guess. But yeah, I'm in on the Warriors. I think they're a lot better than last year. I want to see what happens when Wiseman gets back, though. Like, how are they going to work him back in? Because I'm not sure, unless he's gotten a lot better, that he'll actually help them. But obviously, you have to play a guy who's that young and that important to your future.
You can't expect Wiseman to get better. Like, he's just rehabbing, right? Like, there's no way he's had a chance to really work on his game. So I think a lot of that's going to be catch up on the fly.
Yeah, for a guy.
Like, yeah, but I feel like with a young guy like that, a lot of it is just like figuring out what to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And maybe just decision making. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah. So some guys can learn like just looking, watching film all day. So we'll see. But yeah, I do want to see what happens when he gets back. How that changes the rotations. How that changes the way they play, because obviously he's the pick and roll big, and like he and Draymond aren't a great fit. And He and Steph, the style Steph plays isn't always like ideal. So we'll see. I want to see it. But I'm purchasing.
I'm buying. B-U-Y. Because I refuse to go against that light-skinned dude, Stephen Curry.
That's where I'm at.
I refuse to be on that side of history, man. No thanks. I've seen this movie before.
Yeah. Damian Lee, I've made a lot of jokes about it. Like, he's on the team because he's Steph's brother-in-law. Damian Lee is good this year.
Yeah.
Like he's shooting the way everyone thought Jordan Poole would shoot. He's been really good so far. I'm impressed.
You were just like 6 months ahead with your Bielitsa take.
Yo, Bielitsa is Professor Big Shots. He's always a positive. Okay, he's always a difference
at 28% 3-point shooting right now.
Hey, they've got one loss. Is that really hurting them? 5-1, baby. They don't need him to knock down shots yet. It's Professor Big Shots. What big shots is he missing? Get out of here.
Don't scramble
because you're the only one out on the Warriors.
No, I'm the only one that will be correct. I'm okay with this.
No. I don't know if that's ever happened. All right.
Many times over.
Speaking of culture, buying or buy to the Heat culture as title contenders. Guys, I'll just tell you this. This podcast is going to be out before the power rankings are posted. Number one, Miami Heat. Number one in the power rankings this week. Up to contender tier status. The Miami Heat. Are you buying or are you saying goodbye as title contenders?
That's a purchase. That is a purchase.
Yeah, it's a purchase.
Not buying.
Bye-bye. See you later.
I'm not buying.
Trey's not buying.
I'm not buying. I like it, though. They're playing hard. They're thirsty. They're double-teaming in regular season games. I just don't believe in the health factor. I'm not wishing bad health on them, but I just don't think it holds up.
I'm a little worried about their depth. I'm a little worried about that.
If you're not a Max Strus guy?
Didn't he get hurt? I think he got hurt. He got hurt on Saturday, so no, not anymore. They don't have a ton of depth inside. So I'm a little worried about that, although I do like Deadman. But we got to see this in the playoffs, because he looked not quite as good as this, but similar in terms of aggressiveness on offense. And then the playoffs, it went away completely. But Bam Adebayo is like taking it to dudes right now. And like in the fourth quarter, just like powering through guys. And if that's the Bam we get in the playoffs, then yeah, I'm buying as a title contender. Cause I do think he's such a matchup problem that just got a little too overwhelmed by the moment as Milwaukee last year was just like, do what you want. We're not worried about you. And he's like, oh shit, they're not worried about me. Why? What's wrong with me? And now he just looks like, he looks like a different dude.
I'm concerned about the depth, but I'm buying this. I mean, Jimmy Butler's playing at an unbelievable level. Everything Zach said about Bam, Tyler Hero coming off the bench, he looks like he's ready to have a big bounce back year. Kyle Lowry's got them playing faster, playing with pace, pushing the ball up more. I'm buying, Zach.
Yeah, to me, yeah. Lowry hasn't even started scoring yet. He hasn't
even like, tried to Duncan score. Duncan Robinson's not making shots. Lowry's Duncan not making Robinson's shots.
Not making any shots.
And they look this good, yeah.
Yeah. But like you guys have all said, the depth just isn't there. So they cannot afford any injuries when it matters, really.
Well, just wait till Omer Yurt 7 gets in the mix.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that guy can ball.
That might make me say bye-bye.
The Turkish Olajuwon, some are calling him. No one's calling him that. I just made that up right there.
Bye-bye.
I'm bye-bying. As a championship contender, I think this is a team that's going to be a monster in the regular season. Like we were talking about earlier with the Raptors, when the dog days come, like the Heat are going to be the team you don't want to play in the dog days, whether you're a good team, bad team. Like they just have too many guys that are just, I hate saying it, built different. And I think it'll show. I think once the playoffs come, though.
You did not hate saying that. You had that you had
a dramatic pause. I was like, here, let me deliver this.
I'm sure I was trying to think of something else to say. It's like Ted Lasso. Every time I walk out my door, it says built different on a sign with a Sharpie. In the playoffs, the depth is a thing. And I, like Trey, I don't wish bad health on anybody, but I do wonder if they'll be able to hold up for the course of a season, and I could just see the depth playing an issue once it comes to series and that late in the year. I wonder if they're just going to be a really good regular season team and maybe lose in the second round.
The other part of them being a legit contender to me is that I don't know who the elite teams are right now. Like James Harden hasn't looked great. He's got to work himself back into shape. The Kyrie thing is still a huge issue. The Lakers have not looked good at all. Like I'm not sure.
I mean, Milwaukee's I get it. Milwaukee's been up and down a little bit to the first 2 weeks, but also like Drew's hardly played, Brooks hardly played, Portis hardly played, right?
They were not like invincible at all last year, even when they won the title.
That's true.
Also, Zach, I'm seeing early on over usage from a lot of star players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Paul George may burn out. Giannis is overused because of their lack of depth. Like Giannis is playing up to 31.6 minutes now. Like that's very Giannis and Middleton, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And coming off these three seasons in 12 months, you know what I mean? Like it's just something to pay attention to. Not saying that they're going to get hurt, but I think that they get tired eventually. They're going to gas. And it's going to really depend on sometimes not sitting guys for a loss, but like affording to lose those type of games instead of like wearing these guys down. You know, like obviously it's hard to tell Giannis that he's not going to play or that he can only play a certain amount of minutes. But you have to start to think about those things because the depth is breaking down and that's the last thing you want is for your star player to kind of dwindle down, you know what I mean, or over usage, you know what I mean. And you look at those situations of like who these guys are and what they have to deal with. I'm watching it with Paul George is going to average, it's probably going to be top three in scoring, but when it boils down to the final end of the regular season, he's going to be gassed like those James Harden after, you know, when James Harden would win MVP. Mm-hmm. And just all of a sudden be cooked by game three of first round.
I mean, the good thing for Paul George in that respect might not be playing in the playoffs.
Right.
The way they're going,
that's
right?
Fair. Like, that's
I mean,
fair.
We can move on to Are You Worried? Because I think it's a good transition, Trey, of like the Clippers. Like, look, I get it. No Serge, no Kawhi, but you're right. Like Paul George is doing so much and he's doing it at such a high level and it doesn't matter right now. Like they're losing these games. They're what, I think 1-6 at the time of recording this. Like they just don't, he doesn't have any help.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, especially I think like Terrence Mann, right? I like Terrence Mann. He's riding off that Jazz series. And the same thing is how everyone's high on Jordan Poole. It's like we buy too quick instead of letting these players develop or watch them go through some growing pains. And I don't know. I just don't think that Paul George has that much help in the Clippers.
Yeah. Roster. That's correct. They're 1-4 right now.
Like, when they were playing so well last year, some of it was guys that were very unexpected doing things, right? Like Reggie Jackson shot out of his mind and played so well.
Yeah.
He's been horrible. So you need him to live up to those expectations, especially without Kawhi. They need that extra playmaking. He needs to be much, much better for them. And then Batum, like, he hasn't given them nearly the same impact he did last year. And so some of these guys, it's like they got unexpected contributions from those guys last year, I think. And they're not living up to it so far. And Terrence Mann, too. Like, during the playoffs, he was unbelievable. And now he's fallen back down to earth a little bit. Everything's tougher when you lose a star.
Yeah.
And everybody else has to do a little more, maybe stuff that they're not completely ready to do. And so it has kind of a trickle down effect where it impacts everybody.
For sure. And I think on the Terrence Mann front, if you just didn't have the expectations of him this year going into the season, right? And you're like, hey, he's giving you, 9.6 rebounds, 3.5 assists. He's, not shooting great, but he's been okay. You'd be like, oh, I'll take that out of Terrence Mann.
Yeah, he's doing a bit of everything.
Yeah. But the fact that it was like, okay, he's going to have to fill in for Kawhi while Kawhi's out, but look what he did in the playoffs. And like, now you've got expectations, and now it's like, oh, he's disappointing. Whereas where he is in his experience and everything, he should be just like, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that's a nice contribution. But now he has expectation. That's tough.
But the expectations are our fault, right? And like the media and the fans and all of that, because like, he just had an unbelievable run in that Utah series. As Trey was saying, but this is who he is. Like, you got to let him develop and build up and get his career on track. Like, anybody that thought, and just flat out thought, like, okay, he's going to come in and replace Kawhi, you're an idiot. Because you're not understanding how good Kawhi is and how impossible it is for him to just come in and fill that in his second or third, his third year. Like, it's not going to happen. Like, I think this is good stuff. He is playing well. Like, I got to see them in their one win against Portland, and it wasn't Paul George. It wasn't Reggie Jackson. It was Mann, Luke Kennard, and Isaiah Hartenstein who were killing the Blazers. Like, for the Clippers, I just had very low expectations from them. This is kind of who I thought they were going to be.
Okay, I wasn't going to talk about them, but I am now worried about the Blazers based on just that one sentence you said about how Terrence Mann, Luke Kennard, and Isaiah Hartenstein were crushing them. Yeah. So I'll just answer that one quickly. Yes, I'm worried about the Blazers. I think there's some validity to what you're saying there, Mo, but some of the expectations also comes from the organization. Like, he's playing 29 minutes a game, right? Like, that's a dude that you want out there doing more than what he's doing if he's going to give you, 29, 30 minutes a game. Now, probably not the expectations we had for him. But like, I do think that's somewhat on the organization too.
But that's a good thing. Like, them giving him these minutes is for him to develop. Like,
for sure.
This is a gap year for them, right? So like, this should be the year where they're giving him even more than 29 minutes. Let's see what you have in him. They just gave him a pretty nice contract extension.
Relax, Thibodeau. You're trying to run him into the ground.
29 minutes, like playing 33 minutes isn't a big deal, like, for him at this point. He needs the development and the reps. Like, that's the important thing, so that when they get Kawhi back next year, they know what they have in him.
Yeah. Move on to the Pacers. James, are you worried about the Pacers? No, you wanted to jump into that right away.
What did Dave say, that Carlisle was worth 20 wins by himself?
No. He said like one or something like that. He was completely down on Carlisle. Like, oh, Rick Carlisle doesn't matter.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, it was the opposite.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And then it was you then that said they're worth 40 wins. Somebody was on the other end of that.
40 is a lot of wins. Your numbers are very confusing.
I'm being facetious.
This is the thing. This is my point on that, right? If the issue has been coaching this whole time, which has been what Kevin Pritchard has said,
right?
Then, all right, Carlisle should come in. Or maybe, just maybe, this group of players... not the group of players you want together, which has been my whole point since they fired McMillan.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I mean, listen, I think it's what you just said. We've all had issues about the fit in this roster and how it works for a while. I think now we're seeing that Nate got the best out of it and was able to get it to work. And whatever the expectations they had for themselves in the playoffs, maybe a little too much. But, I mean, now we're seeing – I bet you they wish they had that back now, because it's a team that has, like, kind of no direction. I know they're without Karras, and they lost the great Edmund Sumner, and they're still recovering from that. But
they still have TJ Warren, to be fair.
They still have TJ Warren. Don't have so, like, yet, there are – well, yeah, on the there's points to be had, but it's still just a wonky fit, and that team for a couple of years has felt like a team that has a trade to make if they want to. And it feels like they can alter this on the fly.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of figuring out who's worth staying and who's not.
I'm down on this group as a whole, but I'm not worried about them yet, other than like the hole they've dug themselves by going 1-6, because like in terms of Carlisle helping fix this, like they lost a close game against Charlotte that they should have won. They lost a close game against Washington they should have won. And they lost a close game against Toronto that they probably should have won. Right. And so like those are, and even the loss to Brooklyn, they came out of the gates, and great, like game of runs and all that shit. But like they came out of the gates, like destroying them, and then just couldn't score. And I don't know how much of that had to do with Brooklyn. I mean, Trey, maybe you've got a different take on that, but I just looked at that. I was like, okay, those are four games. Three for sure they probably should have won, maybe the Brooklyn one as well, but like they win, you know, even two of those four games, like we feel differently about them
for sure. No, I don't think they've been terrible. It's just a matter of, it's just always the same question with the Pacers, like what's the ceiling with this group? And I think there's an avenue to where we maybe don't question that as much if they make a move, and we always
it's
look
time
at the front
for them
court
to shake it up.
Yeah,
it's time for them to shake it up, and it has been for a while.
I mean, I think Turner should be
this could be a blessing in disguise.
Moved a minute ago, maybe potentially seeing what's up with LeVert. You know, moving him again. Sabonis is here to stay. You know what I mean? Maybe not going all in on Dorte, but like letting him hoop. And against Brooklyn, they don't have any closers. You know what I mean? They play hard, but like, Brooklyn's the type of team, even if things, I think people overreact with the Nets is because they expect them to go, you know, 60 and something.
Right.
When they got so many things that they need to handle internally and find out, like Blake Griffin hasn't been doing well. James Harden is, you know, not in game shape, but still trying to figure things out and adjust to the no calls. And then also, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge has stepped up for them, which has been a surprise because, you know, this dude was retired, like, and then now he's coming in and have to play more than a role than he's supposed to do. And I mean, you can just go down the line, but like the Nets are going to win those type of games against those type of teams. But against good teams, it's going to show, and it's going to take a minute for them to actually figure things out. I don't know how soon before they actually say, all right, we need to make some changes. But, you know, leaning on Patty Heavy and, you know, other guys that just probably was supposed to just kind of soften the blow, It hasn't been great. They're 3-3. They play today, and, you know, I'm sure they'll probably come out with the win and improve to over 500, but it's just still a
they
lot.
They will come out with the win tonight.
I mean, the thing is, they play down their team's levels, though. You know what I'm saying? So, like, sometimes the games are, like, nastily close for no reason. And then, you know, obviously Kevin will probably go on a run. And James, obviously James, he led the team in all scores and got to the line, I think, 13 or 15 times, which, you know, people have been making a big deal about. I mean, a bunch of points per game has been going down since the no calls of the lean and jumper stuff.
Part of it, I think, is the ball. I think guys are still adjusting with the new ball. With some of the shooting and things like that.
I forgot all about that. I didn't know they started this year. I thought it was next
just,
year.
It's just that it's their new ball. It's the exact same basketball as the Spalding in terms of like makeup and everything. It's the exact same. It just has Wilson on it. But
that would change anybody. Like,
but as like you guys know, like players don't like basketballs that haven't been broken in. Like they just don't, right? And so you still have a lot of basketballs that have not been broken in, I guess, that are being used as game balls, but like that, it's not like we don't have the composite ball now. Like, it's not that. It's not back to like 06 or whatever that was. Like, it's not the Steve Nash saying, this is cutting my hands because
That whole thing was a disaster when they did that.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, I don't like the new basketball theory. Other than like, okay, some of the balls aren't broken in, but like, come on. You playing like shit. Like that, I don't think that has anything to do with the basketball with some of these guys. I'm going to say this, not going to be a popular internet take, but I don't know that I want Malcolm Brogdon as the lead guard on my team. He's a nice player. Good stats.
Why is that not going to be a popular internet
take? The internet fucking loves Malcolm Brogdon.
Because they love Malcolm Brogdon.
Does the internet think Malcolm Brogdon is the one?
Look, I'm just telling you, a lot of those basketball people on the internet love Malcolm Brogdon. And he's a nice player. He's good. He's their lead guard. I don't know that I want him as my lead guard. I like him way more in a complimentary role.
He's the Tobias Harris of guards.
Oh.
Okay.
You want him as your if he's your leading the way on your team, there's a ceiling. And it's not very high. Mm-hmm. But if he's the second or third, he's probably overqualified for that role. I don't know. I agree. Like, I think there's a just in terms of where you want him in the pecking order of your team, I think it's similar to Tobias Harris. Really good player. Don't want him as my go-to guy. Not saying that Tobias is, but there's been instances in his career where he has been. If that makes, I don't know, maybe I sound crazy.
You just sound disrespectful to Tobias Harris. That's all.
That comparison.
I do too. I like Malcolm Brogdon too, but I don't want him as the best player on my team.
They got to get Malcolm Brogdon playing for Doc Rivers. Then he might
that's the secret to unlock it.
Yeah, that's what happens with Tobias. Every time Tobias plays for Doc, he's like three times
balls
better.
Out.
All right, last one, and Jay, we'll start with you. Are you worried about the Celtics?
Yes.
It does not look good right now.
From a standpoint of they are not going to be great, but I expected them to have an adjustment period to Ime Udoka, sure. to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown being the primary creators of everything rather than having an all-star point guard-ish next to them who was driving a lot of the offense.
Ish Smith, you mean, right.
Yeah, so I expected some of it, but I also think they just got a lot to figure out. They don't have many shooters outside of Tatum and Brown. They're switching, like, everything. They switch an inordinate amount of ball screens, and it's not always going well. Their bench, which I think could be pretty good, also, like, they haven't played any shooter. Their bench is like Schroeder, Richardson, Grant Williams, and Jabari Parker right now, and it's like there's no shooting.
Yeah,
there's no shooting, and so I think they've not tried to, but they've made things a lot harder on Tatum and Brown.
What's that weird record you guys freaked out about? And by you guys, I mean Boston media, of like Aaron Nesmith, like, broke a record for not missing consecutive threes in a practice or something like that.
Yeah, he'd be like, well, 244 like three-pointers, right, guys. without missing two in a row.
Okay.
He has not done that in games.
Yeah, he hasn't hit a shot, right? He's 0 for.
he has not 10. Done that in games yet. But yeah, they need to, I think, figure some rotation stuff out. Mm-hmm. I think Ime Udoka is trying to get them to learn the switch everything technique. I don't think he's going to do that as much as he has so far. And I think sometimes it could work. Like, Al Horford looks good defensively. He's blocked a ton of shots so far.
He does.
He's held up pretty well against guards. And that's been like one of the positives for them. But I just think some of their personnel decisions and the amount of post-ups they're running, like, they've made things difficult for Tatum and Brown. And they need to find ways to get those guys on track, especially Tatum. He's had a bad, inefficient start. Like, he's put up a lot of points per game, but
it's a lot
efficient-wise, like, he's shooting horrible from three, not much better from two. Like, he's had a very, very inefficient start to the season. They need to get him on track.
I was just wondering to myself, like, oh, why is Al Horford so fresh and forgot that the Thunder sent him home halfway through last season because they were tanking?
That's why he's so fresh.
Yeah.
The one thing I was hoping Udoka was going to do was kind of add some stuff offensively, and they just look exactly the same. Everything's really just one-on-one play. right? Like they barely have many possessions with ball movement and things like that. Like that's what I was hoping would change. Like we haven't seen anything change in the Boston Celtics offense since like year two of Brad Stevens.
Yeah. And Brad, for whatever his flaws were, he was always a very good defensive coach. And pretty much regardless of the personnel, they always had good to great defenses.
Right.
And so that's been one area I've wondered about. Like, can Ime Udoka come in right away and build a good defense? And I think, like, at times, like, they're pretty small. They've got Schroeder and Smart and Tatum and Brown. Like, with some of their best lineups, they're pretty small. And they're trying to switch everything. They haven't done a good job on the glass all the time. They've got issues, man. There's some worry over there. But I never thought they were going to be great either.
Yeah.
Like,
and to be fair, I did this with Indiana. Like, they lost two double overtime games, right?
Right.
That thing looks a lot different if they win those games and now they're 4-2 instead of 2-4.
Yeah.
You know.
But it's more like just the ugly basketball that they've played than the results of those games.
That's fair.
Like, they just shot 36.5 percent. No, they gave up 36.5% shooting and lost.
I mean, they
shot two for 26 from behind the arc. 2 for 26.
Missed their first 20. It was brutal.
It was horrible. And all the stuff that Udoka's stressing, ball movement, assists, like, it just hasn't been there yet. So, yeah. Fun times in Boston.
There you go. Well, at least the Patriots are really good. Oh. How's hockey going? Bruins.
Mac Jones is going to be the one.
I don't know what that means. That's going to do it for this edition of the Basket Buds Athletic NBA Show podcast. Make sure you're subscribed to The Athletic, getting the best coverage of sports and the NBA in general on the internet. And of course, make sure you subscribe to the feed or follow the feed, depending on what your podcast platform is. If you can leave a 5-star review, do it. You can hear the dogs there leaving a 5-star review as this building continues to be confusing for some of the delivery packages. I've had so many packages misdelivered to my apartment, and I don't understand why. It's like they think I'm the receiving office or something like that. I believe that's what just happened here. Make sure you're checking out all the podcasts on The Athletic. Make sure you check out all the Athletic NBA Show days. Make sure you check out No Dunks, all the team-specific pods. And for my dogs, for Trey, for Jay, for James, for Mo, I'm Zach.
Would you feed your damn dog?
They're dead, man. There's people at the door. I don't know what to tell you. Goodbye.